also, if you go to page 2, there's a the steps to serving. We covered this before, we're covering it tonight. Steps to serving tonight. There's a ministry involvement. Tonight, sermon is steps of a servant. Steps to serving. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I really don't know what I want to do here. I think what I want to do is just start working on and just kind of do a running commentary. So we won't do a traditional reading and go on move forward. Let's just take time to go through it. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says to this church of Corinth. Now remember, the church of Corinth was a pretty carnal church. And so he's writing to them and he's correcting them. And one of the areas in which he corrects them is the area of spiritual gifts. And especially the special gifts, the outward manifestation, the miracle gifts, the gifts of tongues, and the gifts of healing, and many of these. So he's correcting them as the way they're doing it. And so here he's clarifying what these spiritual gifts are and how they're going to be used. So look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean dumb, it means unlearned. I don't want you to be unlearned. You know that you are Gentiles, were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. You were Gentiles. By the way, again, there's only two classifications of the Bible. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. So he's saying that you Gentiles were worshiping idols. Verse 3, wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that gives you understanding as to who Jesus Christ is. Verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. I've underlined these in my Bible. Same Lord, same Spirit. Look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operation, but the same God who worketh all in all. So he's telling, I just kind of get ahead, he's telling the church, he's saying, listen, you can't have this person saying they're going to do this, and this person saying they're going to do that, and this person doing this, and this person doing that, and there's not unity, because the same Lord is the one who's speaking to everyone. And that same Lord, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't be giving individuals diversity of gifts and diversity of tongues and all these things, and that in a way in which it would not work together. So the same Spirit is speaking to you, that's speaking to you, that's speaking to you, that's speaking to you, and that same Spirit's going to take that message and make it connect, that all the members work together. That's the message, all members working together, because it's the same Holy Spirit who is convicting you, the same Holy Spirit who's strengthening you, the same Holy Spirit who's giving you the diversity of gifts. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, notice the capital there, is given to every man to profit what? With all. So all these gifts are given by the Spirit of God to profit everyone. Verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh one, it was all worketh one, all working together, and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he would, as he will. In other words, God is the one who gave you your gift. God is the one who gave you your talent, and he gave them as he would. You don't have a choice of what he gave you. As I've said before, if you have a problem with the gifts God's given you and the talents God's given you, take it up with him. Don't take it up with me. Some people look at, you know, their neighbor and say, hey, why does he got more gifts than me? Or why does he have more gifts than me? The Lord gave those gifts. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one, right, so my fleshly body, this is one body. It's an old body, but it's a body. And hath many members, right, my fingers, my toes, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. In other words, that body works together. So Christ works together. He wouldn't have individuals in the church opposing each other with their gifts. He wouldn't have confusion in the church with their gifts, because all those gifts have been given by the same Spirit to work together, not as they would, but as God would. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink of the same Spirit. Verse 13 is one of the verses in which the Pentecostals and many others use, that we are baptized in the body of Christ. It's not what that's saying. That verse is saying that we are baptized in the baptism. Water, it's talking about water baptism, not spirit baptism. We are baptized, and we are, by that same spirit, are we convicted, are we, that we are convicted to get baptized. Right? In fact, Peter tells us that we don't get baptized, but it bothers us. So this is talking about water baptism, not spirit baptism. That's a whole other sermon, and I've preached it from the pulpit many times. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. Verse 15, verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where were the healing? If the whole were healing, where is the smelling? Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. In other words, the nose can't say, well, I'm not part of the body. Or the ear can't say, well, I'm not part of the body. My ear is. Even though I can't hear as good as I used to, I can hear. Because that member is helping in the body. Again, as it hath pleased him. All right? And look at verse 19. And if there were all one member, and if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. All my members working together in this body. So that's the analogy now. The analogy is the body, especially the body that we have. The analogy is the church works like the body works. It works together. I doesn't tell some, the fingers what to do. It doesn't, the ear doesn't say, well, I don't want to be a part of the body. No, they all work together. Verse 19, if they were all more members, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need to thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need to thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Right? You ever stub your toe? Ever jammed a finger? And you think, well, that finger's not all that important until it gets hurt. And then you know what? The finger becomes important. Right? The toe becomes important. So it's making it very clear that no matter what gift you've been given, that there is no members of the body that are more important than others. Nay, much more are those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which, verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Those who work in the background, those individual members who we don't see a lot of, but yet they're working, helping in the kitchen. Or, one of the greatest examples is a nursery. Now, aren't you glad there's a nursery? Praise the Lord, there's a nursery. And though through COVID, we kind of learned to put up with some of the racket in here when they were in here, but it is a lot better to have nursery workers back there working. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, tempered, hardened the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. There should be no schism, there should be no problems in the body, we all work together. We all work together. We all care for one another. And whether they be, and whether one member suffer, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. Right, you ever, got a toothache? Man, it just seems like that one little tooth infects the entire body. Hurts the entire body. Such a small little thing, and yet it's such, and that's what it's saying here. That member who is hurt, you think about the Perez family tonight, he's hurt. That should affect you. You see somebody you're praying for. You think about Leanne Goble. That should affect you. You should be praying for her. You should be praying for Susan Wooten. You should be praying for Tim Scruggs. You should be, those members who are hurting physically, those, and spiritually, whatever it may be, that should bother you. It should affect you. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, verse 26, and where one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So when a member is honored, when a member is lifted up, we ought to rejoice with that member. We ought to bring joy to our heart and not jealousy. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are the body of Christ. Here it is that the church is the body of Christ. And we are members in particular, each one of you, members of that body. Working together as, again, this body works together. Verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, But this is also a proof text that the church began in the gospel, not the book of Acts. Because the apostles were chosen in Luke chapter 6. Jesus Christ, when he chose the apostles, they were placed in the church. The church was already in existence when he chose the apostles. So if that's something you care about, maybe it's just a pastor, but in our subject tonight, this has to do with God placing in the church apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governance, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. Because you guys are coveting these outward gifts. You're coveting those who speak outwardly and have this gift of tongues and the gift of healing. In other words, you're coveting the more showy gifts. And basically what he's saying is stop it. Quit causing division because you don't have this gift and you don't have this gift and he's got this gift and she has this gift. Quit causing division. We are a body that works together. And I don't have any issues that I know of in the church right now. There's no schisms that I know of. But remember, we're all working together. We all have been given gifts from God, and they've been given to us as he sees fit, and we are to work together to glorify him, to be a blessing to those around us, to edify the body of Christ. We'll cover that in a moment. But he says there in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you the more excellent way. By the way, the next chapter, he tells you what the best gift is, and that gift is charity. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I do believe Paul's being sarcastic. I believe absolutely there's sarcasm going on. He said, though I could speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and clinking cymbal. He's not saying that there is a tongue of men and angels. He's just being sarcastic. But you guys are way off base. That church in Corinth is way off base. He said, you need to quit it and quit concentrating on these special gifts and concentrate on loving each other and loving the world out there. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, and have not charity, love and action, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love and action, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind, and it gives you the definition of love there. And look at verse 7. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I just want to cover this real quick. But whether there be prophecies, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. I'm going to help you here. But whether there be prophecies, this gift of prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, what does it say? They shall cease. The gift of tongues shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's not talking about Jesus. Right? Or it would say when he, which is perfect, has come. That is the Bible. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. It's very clearly saying to us, Paul is clearly saying to us, that when the Word of God was completed, and the Word of God was completed in about 95 A.D., between 90 and 100 A.D., when John, the Apostle John, completed the book of Revelation, the Word of God was completed. Once the Word of God was completed, there was no more need for the gift of tongues. There was no more need for the gift of prophecy. There was no more need for these outward, showy gifts. The Word of God was completed. They had everything that they needed in order to function as a church. Look at verse 11, a verse that is misinterpreted at nearly every funeral I ever went to. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul is using an analogy, he is saying. When the church was in its infancy, when the church was young, when the church didn't have the Bible to guide them, to give them the ways in which they should function, God used special gifts such as tongues. God used special gifts such as prophecy to help the church to function how he would have see fit. You think about it tonight, if we didn't have the Bible to tell us how to have an election of deacons or how to have whatever it may be, then God would send that message to one of the members. And Brother Taylor might stand up and he may speak, and by the way, tongues is another language, not an unknown language. Tongues is always, when Brother Taylor got up and he spoke in Spanish, somebody here knows in Spanish, and they interpret for Brother Taylor. By the way, he could not be in a service. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, 15 tell you, is you could not be in a service where somebody was speaking in tongues unless there was an interpreter. So you would never be in a service where somebody used this special gift where it was not given the interpretation. In other words, you would know what was being said. That's just confusing. And so Brother Taylor would get up and he would say, hey, here's how God wants us to do this. And I've been given this by God. It would be interpreted. And someone else, a third person, would confirm that God had said that. I mean, it was very, very much put in place by God. But once the Word of God is completed, they no longer needed the special gift. By the way, the special gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, they were also required to be a Jew priest because they were a special sign to the Jews. And again, once the Word of God was completed, those things were done. Again, now I look through the glass darkly, but sin face to face. When I was a child, I was taken as a child, I'm still as a child. But when the Word of God is completed, I'm no longer in a child. I'm an adult, and I have the Bible to help me understand. Look at verse 12. For now I see through the glass darkly, but then, talking about when the Word of God is completed face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. But many funerals, they use this verse to say that one day when we get to heaven, we'll know, you know, everything and know why these things happen. And that is true. We don't use this word to use that. We are to be, we are the body of Christ. We are to work together. We are to work together. There's no member who is less important. There's no member who is more important. But God has tempered the body together. He has taken, he has put it in the cold water, put it in the hot water. And he's tempered the word, he's tempered us together. That's what the ideal situation is. We are been hardened together to work together for the cause of Christ. Working together. All of us striving to edify. All of us striving to reach people to God. If you're following there and you want the outline, what are we to do? How do we get started? How do we get started in working for the Lord? Number one, you need to be saved. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but tonight I hope that you know Jesus Christ is saved. Because that's the first step in serving the Lord. The first step is the baby step, which is to get saved. After you're saved, then we are to grow in the Lord. In John chapter 15, Jesus describes those who grow in the Lord as bearing fruit. And we as Christians ought to bear fruit. We ought to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit as we continue to grow in the Lord. You ought to be able to look back and see the fruit that you have bared. You see the things that you have done in the cause of Christ. Growing in the Lord. Are you saved? Are you growing? Number two is the church. In other words, the church. I will build my church, Jesus said. He loved the church and gave himself for it. And again, you ought to be a member of a local church. I know tonight, and I'm preaching again to mostly members tonight, but Jesus Christ established the church. He built the church. He loves the church. Gave himself for it. I still every once in a while come across somebody. Pretty often come across somebody who says, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, Jesus did. He started the church. He started the church. He gave his life to the church. I think if he gave his life for the church, I think he thinks the church is pretty important. And according to Acts chapter 2, we as Christians ought to join a church. You ought to be a part of the body of Christ. You need a church. And therefore, not only do you need a church to be a blessing to you, but you need a church to be a blessing to them. And a place to serve. Every person, every Christian ought to be a part of a local church. Understand that Jesus Christ did not commission the Red Cross, he commissioned the church. And we mentioned this the other night during stewardship. Number three, consistency. As Christians, we ought to strive to live a consistent life. We ought to strive to live a consistent Christian life. We ought to strive to read our Bibles daily and pray daily, attend church faithfully, to give as we ought to give of our tithes and offerings, and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. As we read our Bibles, as we pray to the Lord, as we develop a walk with the Lord, then it will affect our work. Our worship, which in turn affects our walk with God, which in turn affects our work with God. If you are worshiping the Lord and you're walking with him, then you will work with him. It's a natural expression of the walk that you have with the Lord. It will naturally happen. You'll want to serve in some capacity. So being consistent and walking with the Lord will bring about fruit, and that fruit will be service. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we read last Sunday, moreover, it's required of the Spirit that a man be found faithful. If we are faithful to walk with the Lord, it will produce work in our life. It's about Noah, and many others who worked for the Lord. Are you involved in working for him? The fourth point is consider. Let's all see you. I'm going to come up to you. That is what's put that is how it's happening. Consider. In other words, where do we fit in? We went over that some this morning. We'll go over here a little bit in just a moment again. But where do you fit in? Every member is a part of the body, and every member should be involved in the body of Christ to exercise the gifts that God has given you. And where are you involved? 1 Peter 4:10, again, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as a good steward of the manifold graces of God. We covered that last week. The manifold graces of God. Everyone who is saved, born again Christian, has been given gifts, this manifold grace of God, and we ought to be good stewards of those graces. And here in particular, as we think about it, we're talking about the talents God's given us, the gifts that God has given us, to be good stewards of those gifts. Gifts are given to us by God and to serve, been given by God to meet specific needs in the church family. The gift God's given you is unique in order that you might be a blessing to your church, and be a blessing to your church family. Using God, using the talents you have, and tweaks those talents, and part of that. You think about those who sing in the choir who are such a blessing to us. The ladies who sang this morning, or the Brandon who sang tonight, using your gift to be a blessing. By the way, it does impact business to walk through the door. It does matter that the choir, you know, has some people in it. It does matter if the choir smiles and leads us on a game track, right? It matters. It impacts that first impression, it impacts business as well. Again, we all use our talents to encourage each other. The purpose of the gifts is found in Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says there, to edify the body of Christ, to minister to the church and to the community as we serve the Lord. Every member should be a minister. Every member should be a blessing and a help. Every member is given gifts to encourage the church family, to encourage our church family. Again, someday we'll give an account for those gifts. Number five is counsel. Number five is counsel. Get some counsel if you don't know where to serve or don't know where to serve. Get some counsel from myself or Brother Wiggins. Get counsel from one of their deacons or from the chemistry teacher. Have somebody, go to one of them, have them pray with you. But just because you don't know where you're fitting, doesn't give you excuse not to fit. Jump in somewhere. Get some counsel as to where you should fit. Where you should fit. We're best to use your time. Then number six is commit. Commit. We always talk about this. Commit. It takes a commitment. Last year, at the first of the year, I had several, I'd say two or three men who've been around a while to come to me and say, preacher, I want to jump back in. And then COVID did its thing. Things just got complicated. I just want to encourage you. If you've been, if you've made that commitment before, make that commitment again. So preacher, I just don't seem to have a follow-up. Pray about it. Pray about it. And when you do commit, jump in with both feet. Get involved. Get involved. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hello? What an example we have in Paul. And we can go forward and be committed and jump in both feet. And then number seven is commence. Get going. Keep going. See the difference you can make. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be difficulties. But the rewards far outweigh the price. People's lives can be changed forever. How many of you have been around here, you know, 10 or 15 years, maybe even 20 years? And now to see some of our young people who have stuck around, who are now married and now serving, is it worth it? Of course it is. Absolutely. As a pastor to see individuals like Brother Stone, Brother Ben Taylor, and others, Brother Jesse Ryan, see these preachers come out of our church and who have been on our staff, even Frank Heffner, we talked about Brother Frank Heffner, our church is back to pastor in Jacksonville now, and he's been about a church there for 10 years. We had a party. It's worth it. Those of you working in Children's Church and Master Club and watch these kids grow up and get an opportunity to teach them, and those sometimes they're kicking you or they're whatever it may be, and they're being loud and somebody fed them a Reese's Pieces, letter cut beforehand. it worth it? Absolutely. You see those children walk the aisle and get saved. We baptize multiple of them in the baptism of this Lord this next Sunday morning and baptizing some more. There are always new challenges, and there's always difficulties. And this last couple of years has been more challenging than normal. But it's worth it. Commit. Keep going. And then lastly, number 8 is continue. Many times the devil may not try to stop you from serving, but he might try to render you ineffective. Here's what happens a lot of times. People will jump in with both feet and really get so excited, and then they'll jump into the ministry and working in some children's church or master club or wherever it may be, and they find out that somebody doesn't meet their expectations. I'll pick an exception. Tyler King may not meet your expectations. And by the way, Brother Tyler King still learns. He's like 12. Just because you're 35 or you're 50 and he doesn't quite meet up to your expectations doesn't give you an excuse to fit. Sorry, Brother Tyler. By the way, you can hang out with me for a month or two and follow me around. I won't meet your expectations. Very positive. Don't use that as an excuse. Well, you know, those people can start being one of those people. They start being one of those guys who are down on people in the church. And, well, none of us perfect. None of us perfect. We all want to work together. We all want to see that self-same spirit as we work together for the cause of Christ to win people to Jesus. That's it. Don't allow the devil to get you distracted because somebody didn't meet your expectations. He'll render you ineffective. You see somebody else fail and somebody else falter and they say, well, they failed and they quit. It doesn't matter what they do. You're not following them. Right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Peter began to sink there in that lake because he got his eyes off the Lord. Don't get your eyes on somebody else. And then sometimes we become ineffective because we're struggling in the flesh. We just kind of get that burnout. And there's times, physically speaking, where we need a break. There's times, mentally speaking, where we need a break. But be careful about struggling in the flesh. I've never done that before. So I didn't know that. I've done it many times. And I had to remind myself. When I did get to that point, not relying on the Lord, relying on myself. And I don't have that kind of energy. I don't have that kind of power. I don't have the ability to sit in my office and counsel with somebody whose life is falling apart. And I don't have the answer. I need to get the answer from the Lord. We've got to rely upon Him. Put on the whole armor of God. And we will stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't let the devil discourage you. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to see you discouraged. He wants to see you deterred. He wants to see your ideas. Responded, whatever you want to say. Don't let him do it. The preacher, I was thinking about, jumping back into that ministry. Let's jump back in. Oh, but this happened or that happened. Well, what excuses? Everybody can come up with excuses. A football team works together, right? I think Brother Ty Clark has done a great job with our team and our Christian school. Has done a great job. And this last year especially, I promise you there's no one very proud who thought you had to make a mistake on one person. Maybe you did, but not the other group, not us. That team didn't have a lot of talent. Let's be honest. I know some are in here, but they didn't have a lot of talent. There's a good coach who takes that, what it counts, what? I'll tell you, I'm telling the truth. Don't beat up the messenger, I'm just speaking the truth. A great coach who can take what talent he has and take whatever gifts are there and use and get each player to play to their full potential, right? By the way, even sometimes past their potential. All working together. And the players that are the issues are those demons who think, well, I'd play a lot better if the equipment was better. Well, prepare the equipment you have, coach. It's not like we have $1 billion to spend on equipment. We don't. What you want to pay for it. By the way, thankfully, somebody did pay for our new house. But you can't make excuses like, well, if we had better material, we had this or that. There's lots of excuses. Just jump in and serve. Jump in and serve. Some of just need it. They just want to make sure they get affirmation and somebody's watching them. Serving the Lord shouldn't require a pat on the back. No. It should not require a pat on the back. Every once in a while, the pastor ought to do that. I was told by a pastor who was one of my mentors. He said to me, you should never, never tell somebody to affirm them. It's good to tell someone, hey, good job. Good job. That's an engine, right? What is that? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We ought to all work together, understanding that there are any excuses we'll do that. That again, Satan's the roaring lion, sick as a man in the body. Don't allow him to deter you. Get in and serve. Are you saved tonight? You know Jesus as a Savior. If you do, you ought to be growing in the Lord. As you grow in the Lord, the natural product of that, the natural fruit of that will be service. Working for him. Are you working for him? Are you involved somewhere? It doesn't have to be teaching a thing. It doesn't have to be singing in the choir. Maybe you don't have a good voice. He's trying to be more of it. But if you do have a good voice, you ought to be in the choir. Whatever area of service you ought to be involved somewhere. So we'll preach this or that. And I told you this morning, if you don't like people, that's just kind of your thing, you're kind of just a loner, come help mold the yard. You can serve the Lord that way. Every member's important. No matter what you may think that position may hold or where that position may be in level one, level two, level three, level four, there are no levels for the Lord. All members working together. All members are same, according to God, the same importance. There's always a place to serve. Again, we are tempered together. We're stronger together. We ought to work together in unity.